Evening. How's everyone? Great. Good. Well, I want to kind of go to a strange topic that's kind of alien to us. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation, his visitation. Let's go to him in prayer. Great God, we thank you again for just the privilege of being a part of your people, for the many blessings that have been bestowed upon us in the heavenly places from which they have originated, based upon the willingness of yourself to come in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, to fulfill the prophecy, to offer yourself up in our stead, to overcome death that could not hold you. You snapped the chains of in the bonds of sin and death, and you made your appearance to prove that to the people of that day, to get the eyewitness accounts, and then you ascended, and you rule on behalf of your church. And so all the blessings that come to us are indeed heavenly blessings, and that includes the privilege of being always in your presence, to come before your throne of grace, that we can receive mercy and find that grace in time of need. So grateful that we have the opportunity to lift up our voices before you, both in prayer, as I now offer before you, Lord, on behalf of myself and the congregation, and in song. We know that words that are lifted to you in song are pleasing to you as well, Lord. There are so many blessings that we receive. Just thankful again to be a part of your people, to be before your people tonight, and just pray that I would deliver a message that's designed to bring glory and honor to you first and foremost. Help us to understand, again, who you've made us to be and our standing with you. And Lord, just so grateful again that you have preserved these principles, these concepts in your word and have revealed them to us. And now they are used to develop our faith and help us to finish the mission that you've set before us as your people in this, our generation. So just pray your blessing upon this message. And I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. Strangers and aliens. I've been a big lover of music from as long as I really can remember. And many of you that have gotten to know me know that to be true. I sat in front of the TV in 1962 or 63 when the Beatles showed up on the Ed Sullivan Show in black and white. And I was mesmerized, and I knew at that time in my life music was going to be a big thing to me, but I also was very involved in sports, so there was always a conflict. What are you going to do, Kevin? So, you know, when you get into the teenage years, it's, well, how are you going to hook more of the ladies' attention? Oh, singing, you know. So I was involved in all that, and, you know, and so naturally I've spent a lot of my life B.C., before Christ, invested in things musical. And so there's many songs that are out there, and you guys have been the benefactors of some of those songs that I take. I change the words, and I sing them to bring glory and honor to God, you know. And you guys have heard several of them. I'm not going to sing one tonight, but there was a song that was done by a band. I'm not going to name them. Doesn't matter. But it was actually their third singer with the band. He helped write a song with a guitar player, and it was called In the Company of Strangers. And I just liked the tune. So anyway, I'm not going to sing or anything, but so I was thinking about that song, and I thought, yeah, In the Company of Strangers, exactly. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, aliens and strangers, these words used here in the Greek, and then, you know, we'll, before we go there, we'll kind of talk about how alien, and in particular, that's the word that's most often used in the Old Testament, talking about those that were not part of Israel, we'll just say. Okay, and there was two primary words they used in the Hebrew. One of them was geir. We would spell it G-E-Y-R, and there was another word that starts with a Z, and it's kind of like czar or whatever. One of them means, and geir means to be more or less, all the derivatives of that word means you're kind of a guest. You're a guest. You're treated like a guest. So you'll see all those principles in the Old Testament about how the nation of Israel was supposed to treat aliens properly. Strangers and aliens in a land, treat them right. One rule for everybody, right? Treat them right. None of this, you're better than them type of stuff. But at the same time, they were not allowed to partake in a lot of the things that Israel partook in as the people of God, as physical descendants of Abraham. And then with strangers, that was a word that was used that had to do with, and it's translated alien too in some places in the Old Testament, but it's predominantly stranger or strangers. It's something that's unauthorized. So that's kind of the concepts and the principles that were set up in the Old Testament. So when we go into the New Testament, we read about strangers and aliens, those concepts kind of still cross over and flow from the old to the new to a degree. So I just want to tell you these two words that are in our passage here, aliens and strangers, okay? And now these are not the only words that are going to be translated aliens and strangers. The word that's probably most often translated stranger or strangers in the New Testament is the Greek word xenos. That'd be like X-E-N-O-S if we were doing it. The X pronounced like a Z if we were doing it in the English language. So has anybody ever heard of xenophobia? Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody know what that means? Sorry, hold on. What? That's exactly right. See, so, all of our television channels, they're named appropriately. CNN, Communist News Network. ABC, all about communism. NBC, nothing but communism. Okay? MSNBC, Marxist Socialist, nothing but communist. Okay? And then you got Fox, Fraternal Order of Xenophobes. See, so they're all appropriately named. And you should take all of their reporting with a big grain of salt, okay? I pick on both sides equally. You guys that know me know I don't have a lot of good to say about either political party. And that's me, okay? But anyway, so that's the word that you usually see, strangers. So think when you see that often in the New Testament, not always in our text tonight, that's not the case, but it would have that same kind of connotation. This is something that's kind of unauthorized, not right, it doesn't belong type of a deal. Whereas the words we're going to look at tonight with alien and strangers, these words kind of encompass that principle I mentioned that's present in the Old Testament of an alien, the way you would treat them in the Old Testament. They're a guest, but without privileges. So the words are paroikos, P-A-R-O-I-K-O-S. Okay, and that's the one that's translated strangers in our text. It's the second word. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers. So strangers, that's paroikos. And the reason I'm saying that first is because there's many more uses of this word in the New Testament in the Greek than the other one. Okay, the one that is first recorded for our benefit in the English translation where it says, I urge you as aliens. Okay? And that word is peripedemos. Peripedemos. Okay? And that's a compound word. I'm not going to go into all that tonight. But that's the one that's translated here as aliens. Now that paroikos, that one that's translated strangers here in our text, that is also translated in lots of places in the New Testament as aliens. Okay, so what does Thayer's say about these words? I like to go to Thayer's Greek, and Hebrew, because he does he's thinking, how can I best communicate this to the everyday reader that's trying to get something out of the Greek and the Hebrew, the everyday reader of the Bible, out of the Greek and the Hebrew that would be helpful to them to understand? And he always makes the comment that, if you're really having trouble understanding the usage of the Greek, context is a big help, okay? He's big on that. Rather than just a vines, nothing wrong with vines, brethren. If you've got a vines, hey, good for you. By the way, Brad and I had a little short discussion today about, you know, Bibles, digital on your phone, great. But man, and I think Jared said this just recently to you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jared. If you don't have at least two or three Bibles printed, man, I really recommend you get them. And any of your resources that you're using on your electronic, and I've got Olive Tree Bible on my phone. I've got lots of resources that I look at, and I've downloaded them all onto a, something that I have control over in case they shut down the internet or whatever, you know. But anything you can get in print, I recommend you getting, including a Concordance, a Vines, a Thayer's, a Munce's. I've got all those, okay, you know, for Greek and such. But I want to read the definitions that Thayer's gives for these words. And again, the first one is paroikos, and that's the word strangers in our text. So he says it's one dwelling near, neighboring. In the New Testament, a stranger, a foreigner, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship, a guest. Okay, metaphorically, how it's used in the New Testament, without citizenship in God's kingdom. Now we can think of things in our mind right now that would jump out, right? One who lives on earth is a stranger. That's exactly what the context is here in 1 Peter 2, okay? A sojourner, you're just passing on through, used of Christians whose home is heaven. We're a guest here, so to speak. All right? This is not where we live or where our citizenship is. See? Peripodemos, that's aliens in our text, the very first word that shows up. Beloved, I urge you as. He says this is a mindset thing he's communicating. So peripodemos, one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives, a stranger sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner. So you can see there's familiarity, you're a guest, but you kind of see all these things coming through, right? In the New Testament, metaphorically, in reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth. So this is the way these words are used predominantly in the New Testament. We're going to look at several of them. I just want to look through these tonight and kind of open this topic up to you guys for consideration. I'm going to take you somewhere back in the Old Testament and show you something that I virtually guarantee everyone in this room's missed. Maybe not. But I even think Kendall missed it. It's an Old Testament thing. Kendall dives deep into stuff in the Old Testament. So, by the way, if I happen to go, while I'm talking, I go, and I think, brethren, and I fall over, Kendall will come up and finish the message. Okay, so anyway, that's how much confidence I have in Kendall and his desire to want to get that Old Testament down and figure the types and, you know, no pressure, Kendall. Something's hurting. No. Anyway, I think you'll find it cool. Maybe you've seen it before. Maybe I'm, you know, underestimating you guys is the word I'm looking for. But we'll see. All right, so that, understand that. Neighbor, guest, kind of living there, but not the privileges of a citizen. That's why we used to have laws in the past at the first of the year. How many, let me see, all of us that are older, that include people my wife's age and just, you know, who have been younger a little bit longer than us for a very long time. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, John's not here tonight, but anybody older than us, they had ads, black and white, come on TV. If you are an alien residing in the United States, you need to go to the post office, pick up your card, and register with the U.S. government. Any of you guys remember that? You remember it? Carolyn's acting like she don't hear me. Okay, so, all right. Mark, do you remember that? Do you ever see those on TV? Okay, all right. Linda, John, you guys old enough to remember those? Okay. All right. So that's what, okay, that just, you're saying, what's the big deal? Okay, I'm just trying to make an example of how to understand this. That's what we used to do. They don't do that anymore. They throw open the gate and say, go ahead on in. Don't bother us. It's great to have you. Go ahead and act like a citizen. Go ahead and take all the benefits that belong to you. Yeah, no problem. Something wrong with that. Anyway, So there's a principle then that we're supposed to, and it's set early in the Bible, that we're supposed to leave our native land, right, and go to a place where God will show you. Oh, I think, you know, that was kind of referenced in Rain's Lord's Supper tonight, you know, the land of Zion, the spiritual land. We're really here just traveling through. But the Lord, just like he did with Abraham in Genesis 12, the principle, get up, get out of this place, and I'll show you a land that you're supposed to go to. Get out of the land, I'll show you a place you're supposed to go to. He said that to each one of us, only he lifted our understanding in the spiritual realm. You're going to spiritual Jerusalem. You're going to spiritual Mount Zion. This is where I'm taking you. Now get out of this place and go. Let go of all of this stuff that'll hold you back here. So that's where we all have to, each of us individually, make our decisions day by day. How invested are we going to be in the things of the earth? That doesn't mean you should turn a blind eye to things that are going on in the communities around you. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to value and appraise everything, don't you? See? So that's the constant repetition that's coming at us in the New Testament. So let's look at some of these uses of paroikos. Let's go to Luke 24 to start. We're just going to race through a few, and I'll probably cut out some for the sake of time. Luke 24:18. This is when Jesus runs into Cleopas and the other fellow on the road, right, to Emmaus. And so they're talking about things that have been happening. In verse 17, he said, this is when they sat down, right? He said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And these two stood still. I added these two. And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem?" The literal there, are you the only resident alien in Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? That's literally what it says. Okay? We have another passage like that, I think in Acts 13. It says basically the same thing. I'm going to bypass that one for the sake of time. Let's go over to 1 Peter where we were at. I should have told you, keep up, if you're working with your Bible printed, keep your finger kind of in 1 Peter, in that general area. 1 Peter 1:17. "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to one, each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during that," see where it says time of your stay? "During your alien residency." You see what I'm doing here? You do not live, you do not put your citizenship here. You do not get the privileges of earth. You've set them aside. Don't want them. I'm an alien. I don't really deserve them. I have another citizenship, okay, that's greater and better. So I'm translating this so it would be more literal, so it'll ring in your head. Doesn't that read a little differently to you when I read that way? Does it kind of hit you a little differently? Okay, and that's my goal, hoping that you'll see that. Okay, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. This is that word, paroikos, dwelling near, neighboring, a guest type of a deal, okay? Hebrews 11:9. And this is going to be talking about all these mentioned from Abel to Enoch to Abraham to Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah. All these when we get to verse 9. "By faith he," Abraham, "lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents." You can imagine what that is. Okay, he's dwelling near. In tents. Now, not what's not in the translation here, it says dwelling in tents. In the Greek, it literally says dwelling in another tent, unlike the ones around you, is what's being communicated. Okay? There's an idea. You're in you're completely different from this place. Okay? Even though you're there, there's a purpose that God had for Abraham to be there. There's a purpose for God has us to be here, right? Right. So dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So they were aliens. They're guests, strangers, dwelling near, neighboring, not really a part of it. but willingly doing what they can to fulfill God's purpose while they're there. Okay. Acts 7. And we will come back to 1 Peter again here in a little while. Keep your finger there, please, if you're reading out of a printed Bible and not on your electronic. Acts 7. Stephen's given his little message here. A little historical message, by the way. We'll begin in verse 5. But he gave him no inheritance in it, talking about the promised land, right? Abraham. That's what I've been communicating to you previously in Hebrews. They had no inheritance, did he? Okay. Not even a foot of ground, yet even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession. Oh, really? Okay. And to his descendants after him. But God spoke to this effect, that his descendants or his seed would be aliens. Here it is. Okay. In a foreign land. And that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. Aliens. They were really just neighbors dwelling there, not there, right? And obviously they knew that because they were slaves eventually. So they're like, yeah, there's no way we're part of this thing. Man, we got none of the privileges. We're just slaves, right? Verse 29, same chapter. No, we'll begin in verse 26. On the following day, talking about Moses, Moses, appeared to them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you injure one another? Talking to the Israelites. But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? You do not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you? And at this remark, Moses hightailed it. Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, right? Where he became the father of two sons. He lived in Midian, really wasn't a citizen of Midian, was he? He was still alien, he was a stranger in that land, but he had sons, did all that good stuff, right? There were some benefits that came from that, particularly for his kids. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1 again, and the way the book starts out from Peter. This is the word parapodemos. I'm saving one use of the word poroikos for a little bit later here. 1 Peter 1:1. Pedro, for our Spanish-speaking folks out there, sorry, an apostle of Jesus Christ, just check to see if you guys are listening. To those who reside as aliens, your neighbors dwelling near, you're not citizens, you really don't have anything in this place, just kind of a sojourner, right? I don't need to go any further with that. I'm just showing you who reside as aliens. Foreign residents. Alien residencies. Okay? You are not a citizen. All right? Hebrews 11. This is the one I meant to read after I read about Abraham. This is the one that's in reference to everybody that's listed before verse 13, referencing Sarah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Enoch, you know, and Abel, right? Verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, this is where Xenos shows up, and exiles on the earth. So, these are like they were unauthorized residents here, almost like. You get the picture, see? You can see why I kind of presented the beginning of the of this message, kind of doing the definition. Because there's when you start to put these definitions in your head, and this is the reason why I do word studies and I come up here and do the things I do with you guys, because I'm always looking at how can the Scripture communicate more effectively to you and I the picture that God wants us to have. The English language is fine, but we miss the subtleties. Not I mean you got to dig into every verse and break it apart. No. But there's topics you'll come across. If you read something, go, that's interesting. I wonder what that... Dive in. Go for it. See what you come away with. It's That's what it's all about, right? Okay. So we got those. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. I had more I wanted to discuss than this, but I'm going to be out of time here. I'm actually a little after 8. I didn't check to see what time I came up, but I'm pretty sure it was after 7:30. So what I'm saying is I'm reclaiming my time. You know, that seems to be what all our wonderful representatives and senators do when somebody interrupts or takes their time. Reclaiming my time, you know. So you guys are going, what is he talking about now? That's the political spectrum at work, our Congress, you know. There you go. Thank you, Larry. Oh, boy, I lost control. Here it comes from everywhere. Okay. A bunch of aliens and strangers out there. I'm in the company of strangers. I love it. Okay. So anyway, Ephesians 2. I know what I want to look at, but I'm just looking at my notes, making sure I get back to where I want to go. Okay. Verse 17. And he, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away. That's language in the Old Testament talking about the Gentiles. And peace to those who were near. This is in reference to the Jews. For through him, we both, Jew, Gentile, have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Now, does that verse ring a little bit stronger when I've talked to you about the lack of citizenship in the use of these words, which is talking about being more of a guest, one who passes through, without the rights and privileges of everything that's available in that land that they are now dwelling? See, I am absolutely convinced that's why Paul uses that verse and that terminology as the Holy Spirit moved him to pen it for us. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. He throws that in there. Because they were, as Gentiles, separated from God. We as Gentiles, separated, had nothing to do with anything of God's, right? We were definitely unauthorized. We weren't even really welcome to dwell near. But the closest we could get, and the closest the Gentiles could get into the temple system is the court of the Gentiles. That's about how near they could get. And they were still outside of the court of women and into the general court and in the courtyard of the temple. They're way out there, far away, right? So you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Now you're not a guest. You are family, right? We are family. Right? I got my sister brother with me. Some gals used to sing that song in the late 70s. I didn't do a good rendition of it, but it's a good song to remember. Right? What I'm saying is we're family, right? And we're family of God's. And this has always been his plan. And he inserts these little things, these little types in the Old Testament. He goes, I wonder if they're going to catch this. So that's what I'm talking about. And that's where I want to finish tonight. Even though I had a lot more I wanted to talk about, we'll finish here. Go back to Ezekiel. Anybody know what chapter I'm going to? Anybody know the chapter where it talks about the water coming out of the temple? That's chapter 47, where the stream starts trickling. And as it gets further out, it manages, you can swim across it. And everything it comes into contact with, it turns, it just becomes filled with life. It actually flows down into the Dead Sea, according to the description here in Ezekiel 47, and it turns the Dead Sea into a living sea. Obviously, that's the living waters flowing from the temple. That would be the indwelling Holy Spirit. Okay, now, understand that's there, and I wish I had a little bit more time to go a little bit more in depth in this. But look at the way this chapter finishes, and I bet you haven't noticed this. I'm going to ask Kendall when we're all done, see if he caught it. Okay, but it goes after it talks about it by the river that flows through in verse 12 on its bank. On one side and on the other will grow all trees for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit or bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. That's the picture of the river, right? I mean, it's amazing. This is very plentiful and great. And then it goes into, well, let's get the boundaries and divisions of the land figured out here. And you're going, hey, man, this is a spiritual picture. I'm pretty sure why is he going in this boundaries in this land? I think he did it for this reason. Verse 21. Check this out. This is so cool, brethren. This is so cool. So you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. There it is. It's so cool. I'm done. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Okay? We're going to read a few more. You're like, what? That's not cool. Right? I've been robbed. Okay? You guys still with me? On the edge of your seat? You guys, come on, man. You shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the who? Aliens! Yeah, I yelled. Who stay in your midst, who bring forth sons in your midst. This is unprecedented in the Old Testament. Aliens were never given this opportunity or this right. Now, I guarantee you, most everybody out here tonight missed that. Never saw that thing about aliens who stay. And they shall be to you as what? Native born. Among the sons of Israel, they shall be allotted an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. Who's God's inheritance today? Church, right? We're his inheritance. What's it comprised of? Oh, tribes of Israel and the aliens who are now native born. Guys, stop and take that in. And think about what we read in Ephesians 2. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens. Is the Old Testament worth checking out? Oh, yeah. Because there's all kinds of great stuff everywhere. How many of you have seen that before, honestly? Has anybody ever seen that? Thank you for being honest. Okay? Because I know, and I've been wanting to do this message for a while. I might figure, I'll pick it. Okay, that's a good one. Right there. Prophesied. That's another reason that you can show the premillennials. Ezekiel absolutely blows away premillennialism. Because nothing like this ever happened under the law. Couldn't happen under the law. It's proof again that Ezekiel here is talking about the church. This is just another thing that helps to blow up premillennial thought and destroy that false doctrine. You guys excited? I'm excited. Hey man, I'm a citizen. I'm a native born. I'm a native born. And I don't have to worry about whether somebody threw open an open border and said I could act like an alien, a native born, even though I knew I was an alien. God threw open the doors and said, you are a native born. You are part of my household. You're part of my family. You have citizenship, and it's with me in heaven. Ooh, that's awesome stuff. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the great love that you have for us and the great message that you communicate to us. You're constantly trying to get our eyes open to see how you prepared these things for us. The pictures of what were to come, the types that are available, Neil. It's everywhere. It's so amazing. I just absolutely marvel at the way you slip these in everywhere. What really helps is when we start to understand the things that are present in the New Testament, we can go back, and as we're reading through the Old, we go, whoa, Lord, you did it again. This is amazing. There it is. And it's always going to communicate the incredible process of your plan being brought to fruition. And again, all those little, what seem insignificant statements placed so perfectly to help us to understand that ultimately you wanted us all as a part of your household. And you made it available through your coming in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, how I am thankful. So Lord Jesus, I just pray that my brothers and sisters were encouraged tonight. And in it, I know that you are glorified. Just to talk about what your picture presents to us and the plan that you executed just brings glory and honor to your name. You're a marvelous, marvelous creator and planner and architect. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you. May my brothers and sisters have their faith strengthened. May they be encouraged. May their faces be radiant as they leave this building tonight, understanding the value you've placed on us as your children. We belong to you. We are your inheritance. We are of your household. And we are citizens of the heavenly place. So grateful. Please accept our thanksgiving as we offer it up through you, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. Amen.